Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel, relevant, personal, and essential, into your life. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and our purpose here is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your life. Hear it, believe it, live it. The phone lines are open right now, and we invite your calls at 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. We're here to talk with you. Well, to Bob and Richard and everyone listening, happy Monday, everybody.
Yes, indeed, and a very happy Monday to Richard and Lois. They're celebrating their anniversary today, so congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Happy anniversary.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about that in light of our topic for the day, and it's this: who is Jesus Christ? Who do you say that he is? And I know the answer to that question has profound implications on every area of life. Mm-hmm. It's just not one of those questions we answer, check off, and say, hey, now I'm a Christian, don't ever have to think about it again.
Yeah.
It is a question that reshapes us, totally puts us on a new path in life, in every area of life, including marriage. And I know you and Lois have seen that question lived out in incredible ways as you've grown together and lived together and just journeyed together in Christ, haven't you?
Yes. Some of you out there know part of my story. Probably most of you don't. But my wife and I studied our way out of the church we were raised in. And any of you who have done that know how stressful that can be. And we had friends who lost their faith over the same kind of questions that we were asking. And with no faith, with no Jesus, they had no basis for their relationship. And we know people who've gotten divorced over it. And what a tragedy. Well, Lois and I knew Jesus. We knew who he was. Even if we were a bit confused, we knew who he was. And instead of driving us apart, that whole process pulled us together so that we were stronger than ever as we went through the process. We did it in very different ways because we're different people, but the net result was a much stronger relationship than anything we would have imagined prior.
Yeah, and certainly this question, if you're in a tough situation, I think you have to circle back to this question and say, who do I believe that Jesus Christ is right now in this situation?
Yes, you have to start there.
Yeah, if you come to a conclusion that he's God, then you're able to entrust yourself to him. You know that he's bigger than the situation that you're in. That's why this is so vitally important. Mm-hmm. I know we had a caller on our last broadcast and wanted to get to his question on this particular program. He wants to know how to grow in faith. He's a brand new believer. His name's Michael from New Jersey. And I think that's a very, very important question. How do we grow in faith? How does our faith get bigger and bigger and bigger? Well, faith is not a word in and of itself. It's not a power unto itself. Faith has to have an object. Faith is attached to Jesus Christ. He is the author and perfecter of faith. So if our faith is going to grow, it's going to grow in proportion to our knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do we truly believe that he is God in human flesh? Do we truly believe that he has taken away all of our sins, or do we think he's just taken away some of our sins? Do we truly believe that he was raised back to life and he's alive today? So our faith is going to grow in proportion to our knowledge of Jesus Christ. As I said, he is the author and perfecter of faith. So who is Jesus Christ? Who do you say that he is? Why does it matter? Let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
Yeah, let's join the conversation. 1-800-677-9377. We're here every day at this time to address your questions. So that's our purpose for being here. So we want you to be a part of it. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. Guys, a question from Everton, who listens to WMCA New York City, says, the subject is women in ministry in the church. What are the roles of women in ministry in the church? That's from Everton in Bronx, New York.
Well, that's one of those very interesting questions, one of those questions that stirs up a lot of talk and discussion, and you know, the discussions can become heated over that sort of thing. What is the role of women? There are several passages in the New Testament that would imply that they don't have a role in ministry, that they're not to have authority over men, they're to be quiet in church. But both of those passages had very specific targeted application. In Timothy, when Paul wrote that women aren't to have authority over men, that word authority is not typical of the other word authority that's used in the Word of God. It's not somebody in control or not somebody in charge or any of that sort of thing. This word authority means to dominate, to really take advantage of, to cram stuff down somebody else's throat. And that's what these women were doing. They were bringing in false doctrine. They were trying to lord it over everybody and say, this is the way it is. And Paul was trying to bring them back to reality and say, hold on. God doesn't allow this, and I'm certainly not going to allow you to have this type of authority within this situation. Look back at what sin caused in your life, this pain and everything that you go through in childbirth. Recognize that, and you will be truly saved by Jesus Christ. Now, do women have roles in ministry? Absolutely. They play some of the most significant roles in ministry. I think about Mary Magdalene when she went to the garden. She was the first to announce that Jesus Christ is alive. That's a pretty significant ministry. Yeah. And she went to the disciples and announced it. They didn't quite believe it, but they later went and confirmed that truth for themselves. But you see women involved in ministry, both in the Word of God and in day-to-day life. We usually think of roles like, you know, pastors and that sort of thing as kind of relegated to men, and there's probably good reason for that. But as far as overall, women have a significant role in ministry and carrying out this gospel message and connecting others to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. You can join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Chuck in Grand Rapids. Is it wrong to drink beer and wine? Is there any limit other than respecting the holy temple that God has made for each of us?
The Word of God doesn't prohibit drinking beer or wine. It simply says, do not drink in excess. In other words, don't put yourself under the control of those substances. Nobody makes good decisions when they're drunk. That's just, you know, a very basic common sense truth, isn't it? So you certainly are free, but the Bible would say, you know, in your freedom, don't indulge the flesh. So let that be the truth that guides you. Let the Spirit of God lead you in that direction. We make so much out of drinking and eating and all of that stuff. I love what Paul said. Goodness gracious, people, Christianity, this relationship we have with Christ, isn't about eating and drinking. It's about joy in the Holy Spirit. How are you going to get there? Through faith in Jesus, through abiding in the Spirit, through walking in the Spirit. Let that be your focus, and these other things will take care of themselves. I mean, you're going to find yourself in situations you normally might have a glass of wine at a meal or something, and you're going to say, you know what, this would be stupid to have a glass of wine in this situation because there's something else that's more important, and I want to be involved in that thing that is more important, which might be the salvation of somebody that has a drinking problem. So you allow the love of God to control you, to compel you as far as your decisions are concerned. And if you do that, these things are going to answer themselves.
So. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Follow-up question from Chuck. He says, can you please further explain this? And this is a passage out of 1 John, I believe. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has ever seen him or known him.
Richard, what in the world is John talking about in that passage? I mean,
well, yeah, I clearly no longer sin.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what we think?
That's
you know,
what we
I no longer do these you know violations of the law.
I have never killed someone in my life, therefore I must not be sinning. Now, this is a different kind of thing. What he's referring there is to that act of repentance where we go from unbelief in Jesus, which means that everything we do by definition is sinful because we don't believe in Jesus, to absolute belief in Jesus. He is everything. There's our question for today. Why is it so important to figure out who Jesus is? Well, that's the basis of sin or not sin. Once you have accepted Jesus Christ, that sin of unbelief is no longer an issue. Even if Satan throws doubts in your path, the fundamental issue of belief has been settled once and for all. And now I truly have a choice. I am no longer living in a state of sin based on unbelief. I am now in a state of blessing as a child of the living God because I do believe in Jesus Christ alone.
Absolutely. So it's not talking about sins. It's talking about the core issue.
The core issue.
Yeah, and once you go from unbelief to belief, you can never be an unbeliever again. That's good news. And yes, we're talking about Jesus Christ today. Who do you say that he is? Why does it matter in your day-to-day life? And it certainly does matter. The conversation was quite brisk and just buzzing with all kinds of opinions back in the day. The same holds true right now. Jesus is one of those fire rods. I mean, you insert his name into any conversation, and the opinions start to fly, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And, man, it's interesting when you go to the Internet, you see a lot of interesting things that people say about Jesus, don't you?
Yeah, there's a couple of them here that they're amazing to me. I think Jesus might have been a good person in his time. Today, he is a monument to the stupidity of Christians, just like Allah is and the rest of the so-called gods are. So here's a person who says anybody who claims any god whatever is stupid. Okay, well, that's your opinion. You know, I like this one. Jesus was a rabble-rouser and a good, smart guy that lived and died about 2,000 years ago. He was often misquoted in scriptures. I was there, so I know he was misquoted. He was often misquoted in scriptures that were recopied countless times before the printing press by illiterate scribes. Anybody who knows anything about history knows that one of the few educated people was a scribe. Whatever they were scribing, whether it was religious things or governmental things or whatever, they could read and write. No one else could. So, you know, people have these opinions, and they're kind of based on nothing.
Yes.
Because I, you know, like you said, Jesus is the lightning rod. I'm confronted with Jesus. I either have to accept him or reject him. And if I reject him, then he keeps coming back and saying, well, you know, I haven't rejected you. Why don't you believe me? And we keep getting more and more and more angry because we can't deal with the fact that Jesus is real and wants us for his own. And so we write things like this. These are tragic statements, and this is just a couple of them. You go on the Internet, you can find thousands of them like this.
Tragic indeed. And I know, you know, there might be people listening out there that hold some of those opinions. And that's why it's so important to have, you know, a broadcast like this that's, you know, going into the Word of God and saying this is what the Word of God has to say about Jesus. He's God in the flesh. As John wrote, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all the apostles made that same statement, basically. Mm-hmm. Paul, you know, time and time again, this Jesus Christ who is both Lord and God. You know, doubting Thomas, my Lord and my God, when he finally saw the resurrected Christ. They listened to what Jesus had to say about himself, and then they came to that conclusion that Jesus truly is God. And with that, they entrusted themselves to him for their own salvation. And so that's the reason this is such an important question, and that's the reason this a broadcast like this needs to be supported, needs to be financed, because that message can penetrate through those opinions and those speculations and can bring truth and clarity to people who are doubting, who are confused, who are looking for something in life, and when they finally hear the truth about Jesus, they will find in him everything that they are looking for. And this month, if you make a contribution to Basic Gospel, say $35 gift to Basic Gospel, you will help reach 100 people in our listening audience with this good news. So join with us. Make a difference in people's lives. Bring this gospel message. Bring this truth about Jesus into their hearts, into their lives. It will truly make a difference. It will transform them forever. And all the information on how to give is available at our website, realanswers.net, or they can call, right, Bob?
Absolutely. 1-800-727-2828. Speak with Billy. She'll be glad to take your information and to chat with you. Again, that number is our customer service line, 1-800-727-2828. A question from the phone lines.
William in Livermore, California. Hi, William.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
Yeah, I was calling because I believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he came in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering so that we could become the righteousness of God. But what really motivated me to call was the question regarding John's first letter, where he said that we don't continue to sin. And I just wanted to point out that earlier in his same letter, he writes that if we claim that we don't sin, then we make God out to be a liar, which would mean that if God is telling the truth that he is, then we do sin. So, you know, you really can't reconcile that we do sin and we don't sin, unless you understand, like Richard was pointing out, that the sin that he's speaking of is not believing in Jesus, that the sins that came about as a result of that unbelief were taken away by him at the cross once and for all, leaving only the sin of unbelief in him as the only sin that we're being judged by.
That is correct, William, and that's an important point for people to truly understand. We feel like it's our sins that are going to be judged and going to determine our destiny, but that's not the case at all. It's what do we do with Jesus? That's the question. Who do you say that I am? Our answer to that determines our eternal destiny, and we can only answer that if the Spirit of God reveals to us who this Jesus is. Otherwise, we live blinded to that reality, and we just remain dead spiritually. So our prayer for everyone has to be, Lord, open the eyes so that people can see your glory in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is everything. He is Christianity. He is life. So we need Christ. We need Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Well, William, sure appreciate your call today.
Yeah, great insight.
Well, let's go to Pat in New Orleans. Hi, Pat.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you. My question is, I was raised Catholic. I'm no longer Catholic, but the Catholics do believe, you know, in the resurrection. They do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I know that they have their, I guess you would call it, a works-based religion, and whereas, you know, Protestants, you know, 1 John 1:9 a lot. And my question is, are Catholics saved and they don't know it, and they're trying to work their way there? Is that a possibility? Because they do not understand what the gospel is?
Well, Pat, I think you could probably ask that about a lot of different denominations, you know, or Methodists saved, or Baptists saved, or,
right,
you know, and the truth gets down to this: you must be born again. That it's new birth that grants us entry into God's kingdom. It's not denominational affiliation. You know, a lot of folks say, "Well, I'm a member of this church, so I must be a Christian." Well, membership in a church denomination is something totally different than new birth in Jesus Christ. So are there Catholics going to Catholic church that would be born again? You would say yes, indeed. You know, are there Methodists going to Methodist churches who are truly born again? Yes, indeed. Are there Southern Baptists going to Southern Baptist churches who would be born again? Yes, indeed. But just because people go to those churches does not mean that they are saved. Why? Because there's a lot of different reasons people go to church. You know, there's lots of parents that go to church because they want something good for their kids. They're not necessarily interested in what God could bring to them into those services. They just want to provide a nice, safe place for their kids to experience some good things. Others go to church to network, to meet friends, to help their businesses grow. Other folks go to church just for friendships. So there's a million different reasons that compel people to get up every Sunday morning or Saturday night or whenever the church service is and move them from their house to the churches. But only those who have come to Christ by faith, who are born again, are genuinely saved. Those who have received new birth, who've been made alive together with Christ. That gets us right back to the gospel message. What is it? It's Jesus Christ was born into this world. He's the Savior, and this is how he saves, through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And those who connect to him through his death, burial, and resurrection are made alive, and they experience that new birth. So that's important for us to understand that, you know, to enter the kingdom, you must be born again. Okay, Pat?
All right, thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good question today.
Yeah, and we have one that really gets to the heart of the matter right here. This is from Yalin, who writes to us from Antigua. She says, what happens when I continue to sin? Because in reality, I do sin every day. I can't help it. What do I need to do to stop sinning?
Boy, that's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something we probably all ask, what do I need to do to stop sinning? Well, what if we said that wasn't really God's goal for your life, for you to stop sinning? God's goal for your life is something different. God's goal is for you to trust, to start trusting Jesus Christ. He wants us to walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, the byproduct of that is that we're no longer carrying out the desires of the flesh. So I think we need to change our goal a little bit. We need to align ourselves with God's priority. And God's priority is faith being expressed through love. As Paul wrote in Galatians 5:6, what matters most in life is this, faith being expressed in love. So learn how to start trusting Jesus Christ in your daily life. That's something that he wants to equip you to do. That's what the Word of God is designed to do, to equip us to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. And when we do, we're going to be learning to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. So if you wake up every day and say, Lord, I want to stop sinning, you're going to focus on that sin, and I guarantee you, you're going to be committing that sin. So wake up every day and say, Lord, I want to learn how to trust you, abide in you, rest in your love, and experience the fullness of life.
Well, we appreciate hearing from our listeners who call and pose questions by phones. And we also appreciate those of you who email a question to us. And you can do that by going to realanswers.net, and you'll find an email link right there. We'd love to hear from you and address your question on a later edition of People to People, as several on today's program have. So again, that's at realanswers.net. You know, Independence Day brings the July Freedom Sale, our best-selling products at great prices. Sharing the freedom we have in Christ is one of the great joys that believers have, and these resources can help. Now through July 7th, these products are 50% off, friends. That's right, 50% off. It's the July Freedom Sale, and it's on now. Visit store.realanswers.net. That's store.realanswers.net. Or call and speak with Billy, 1-800-727-2828. That's our customer service line, 1-800-727-2828, for the July Freedom Sale. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.